This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Total Saints podcast. This is our weekly get-together where we discuss the last 7 days supporting Southampton Football Club. We're live streaming our podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch and YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you subscribe to the channel to be the first to see our new videos. As always, a massive thank you to our TSP patrons who make all of this possible. You can visit patreon.com/Total Saints podcast to find out more about getting involved. Coming up this week on the pod, we reflect on a dreadful game of football in London, Saints suffering a narrow defeat at West Ham. And from second to bottom, next up, it's second from top. We'll preview the visit of Manchester City. My name's Martin Stark, and I'm joined this week by Steve Grant, who's the owner of Saints Web, and Glenda LaCour, the writer of the blog League One Minus 10. Underpinned by our TSP patrons, this is episode 227 of the Total Saints podcast.
Your home for everything Southampton FC. From dedicated Saints insight to exclusive interviews. Live on YouTube every Sunday and available to download wherever you listen to your podcasts. This is the Total Saints Podcast.
Our 8th 1-0 defeat of the season came against West Ham at the London Stadium. Glenn, another poor game and a disappointing result. Once more, we're talking about a 1-0 defeat. Were we wrong to expect anything better this afternoon?
Probably, but you do, don't you? You know, you have a couple of weeks away and you look at the 10 games left and think that we're going to do something different. We're going to contribute something. We're actually going to try and score some goals and maybe even win a game. You're hoping that the penny is going to drop, that we're in serious stuff now and we need to start picking up points. What you didn't expect was yet another insipid nothing performance where we didn't do a thing really. And the sad thing is that from the moment the team news dropped at 1 o'clock, you kind of knew that was coming. Kind of knew that we weren't going to really come flying out the traps or anything like that. We picked a front four with zero goals in it, basically. I think the three of us have only scored 2 goals less than that front four has this season. So you knew, I know the players who aren't playing haven't scored many goals either. But, it was just, you try not to be too negative when you see the team line up and just go, okay, let's see what happens. Maybe there's something different going to happen, but nothing did. You know, we picked a team to be solid out of possession, and basically we were in the first half, and the first 20 minutes was going okay. We were restricting West Ham to nothing really, and the crowd was beginning to turn on them, and then Paul Tierney steps in with the first of many dubious decisions. I mean, everyone seemed to be slating Chalet Azar for the challenge on Bowen, but in my opinion, that free kick should have been the other way. Bowen actually kicks him. But having said that, we've given away the free kick. You've got to defend it. And we, of course, didn't. It was lack of marking. We just, our standard thing was just stand there hoping for an offside. It wasn't offside. Why on earth it took 4 minutes to get to that decision, don't really know. be guessing, you know, and 1-0 down. And another thing I can't, he scored with a header from 20 yards and Bazunu looked like a six-year-old in goal. He was nowhere near it. I mean, maybe that's harsh, but there's just like no presence there. And it just sort of floated into the net. And there you go. We woke up, had the shot from Pero virtually straight away. First half, just remainder of it fizzled out. Second half started, no changes, nothing. Yeah, I mean, the first change left Theo Walcott playing as a number nine. So it's just him and Alcaraz up front. So we've got two midfielders up front. So that was strange. And it was only when, I mean, Sulemana had decent initial impact. It was only when Onuachu came on. And I mean, he didn't do much, but he at least got that header on target. And we looked like we had a bit of an attacking plan then. We worked the crossing position for Prowse, put it in the mix. And this is what we've been saying all along. You've got to use Onuachu the right way. You know, use him for what he's good at. But it was just not enough. And it's just another pathetic shambles of a display, really, which in the situation we're in, you just can't afford to have. And we've had it so many times this season. So many times. I mean, did anyone expect us to score in the second half? I didn't. You know, because you've seen how insipid it is from the start. And it's just, if you start games so slowly in an attacking sense, it's very, very difficult to suddenly, even when you bring new players on, it's very, very difficult to just go, right, we're now going to switch and we're now going to try and batter the opposition goal. But just not enough for me. Deserve to lose, really. You know, West Ham didn't even have to be that good. They didn't have to do much. Just win the free kick and wait for us to, you know, implode again. And that's what we did. So, I mean, the biggest cheer I had all game was Brendan Rodgers getting sacked halfway through the first half.
the breaking news that came up, yeah.
That was it. That was great. It's the biggest cheer of the first half.
Funny enough, you were the first person that I thought of when the breaking news bar came up with that one.
Yeah, I've had a few messages.
A couple of messages already. Nick saying Saints just not fit for purpose in the Premier League this year. And Will, who's watching on YouTube, says Steve looks like a vicar tonight. I appreciate that's not going to translate particularly well into those that are listening to the podcast or on the radio. But can you just confirm, Steve, you've not been at church today. You were at the game, weren't you?
Oh, it's right.
There's not a dog collar underneath.
No.
Okay. You were there today. It all seemed pretty flat and pedestrian watching on the telly. What did you make of the game?
Flat on the pitch, flat in the stands. It was a baffling, it was a weird game, weird atmosphere. Nobody seemed interested either on or off the pitch. It was just bizarre, given the supposedly high stakes. West Ham were awful. Didn't really do a whole lot the whole game. I mean, when they brought Antonio on for Ings, they went from having 10 men on the pitch to 11. And yet, yeah, we just never quite did enough. We were neat and tidy in the first half, and we were executing kind of what did really look like our plan of keep it tight first half and then probably go a bit more attack minded to win it in the second. And that was kind of working up until that free kick was given. You could see that the West Ham fans were getting on the team's back. They were getting fed up of us pushing them back and forcing passes back to Fabianski all the time. And yeah, we were kind of relatively in control at that point. And then we get that free kick, which, yeah, I mean, from our end, it did look like Bowen basically missed the ball and just went through on Chaleta Sarr rather than the other way round. But when Bowen's the guy who ends up on the deck, no huge surprise that Paul Tierney gives a decision his way. But yeah, that free kick, we got to defend better. But I guess it's kind of, I mean, this kind of feels like the fine margins payback from 2 or 3 years ago, where we were absolutely superb at defending those sort of the offside lines and playing the offside trap and every single marginal one, like during the COVID seasons, basically went our way because we'd worked so hard on it and we timed it brilliantly. This one, we've got it ever so slightly wrong and we've paid the price for it, because once they go 1-0, it's Moyes ball, isn't it? West Ham are quite happy to sit back and soak it up, knowing that we were basically playing in front of them rather than trying to get them to turn and run back towards their own goal. And then they could look to hit us on the break. And they had a couple of decent chances on the break. But I mean, there was one first half where El Yunusi covered really well, had to sprint about 60 yards to stay up with play and did did superbly there, I thought. But from an attacking sense, it just wasn't quite clicking, and it was all really pedestrian. Stu Armstrong, as you occasionally want to do, just kind of almost seemed to be playing in reverse gear. It was very strange that he worked himself into some really good positions and then would suddenly find that he'd gone into a worse position, sort of within like a fraction of a second or so. And then he'd try and lay the ball off, and he'd misplace a pass, or it would be woefully under hit, and we'd give the ball away. So that was infuriating.
Stu Armstrong's an interesting one, though, because time was the team only won when he was playing, when he was starting, you know, and he would be one of the first names on the team sheet. But it just seems to me, I don't quite know what's going on, whether it's been the injuries, but he's just not the player he was. And he was almost a liability today.
Yeah, I mean, first game back after the international break, where he's obviously been away. I mean, and we've seen this a lot, haven't we, over his time with us, where he goes away for Scotland, regardless of whether he actually gets any minutes for them. He seems to come back looking unfit, whether that's because the training that Steve Clark's putting them through up there is particularly intensive, or whether it was just a kind of overall thing from the minutes he did play. I don't know, but yeah, he looked so far off the pace. But I mean, you would assume that he'd looked all right in training during the week, because you would imagine obviously he'd have only been back, Wednesday, Thursday, I guess. But they'd have surely worked on the team system in those last couple of training sessions. And for him to have slotted in into the starting lineup rather than someone like, say, Sulemana, He must have shown that he was up to speed and ready to go. But I mean, from what we all saw in those 90 minutes, he was nowhere near it.
We'll talk about the formation a little bit later, because I think there's a lot to get into around that and the fact that it's really not working. Just on the goal, Glenn, I mean, that's 12 goals conceded from set pieces now. It's every time they come out and say, we need to learn from this, we need to work on it, we need to get better at defending. And yet every time you can see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we say that a lot. We've got to learn from things. You know, we've got to learn from conceding goals from set pieces. We've got to learn from starting games slowly. You know, everyone talks, no one actually does anything. I mean, what was that stat again? 12.
I think it's 12 goals conceded from set pieces. Yeah, I think one team in the league, from what I remember, were worse than us, and that's Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, and we nearly let in one at the end as well, didn't we? From someone got free at the back post. Standard sort of thing that we do. Was it Zuma headed over the bar? Someone did anyway. But yeah, it's like a bomb going off. It doesn't matter which centre halves we've got playing, or you know, who's on the pitch anywhere. It just seems to be we have no idea what to do. And considering we've got a dedicated set piece coach, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
It's a parody role at the moment, isn't it?
Is there any accountability for these guys? I'm sure I'd get sacked if I was that bad at my job. But
it's not as if we're scoring from set pieces either, is it?
No, you know, and we've got, you know, one of the best set piece deliverers around, but we don't look a threat up that end quite often, very often rather. And it's just terrible. We seem to be over reliant on sort of like blocking players and looking for offsides. This is something that came in with Ralph. As Steve was saying earlier on with the COVID games, he seemed to use that period to get us very well organized and very well drilled. Now, during the 4 minutes when they were trying to work out whether it was offside or not, they sort of like put a couple of steals up on the screen, and you could see that virtually all the Saints players had held their position, but Sekou Mara had just moved back a little bit. Now, and obviously I'm not panning Sekou Mara for that, but no. he's a player who's not been in the team that often. So he's probably not as well drilled with it. You know, he took a step back with, I think it was Souček who was behind him, and that's what played Aguerd onside in front of him. And like I say, I can't work out why it took 4 minutes, because it looked very obvious that it was a perfectly okay goal. But, you know, I still think there's a lot to be said from actually your big guys marking their big guys and trying to win the headers. But there you go. What do I know? The modern way is not to do that. You know, there's other teams that have very, very bad at it as well. I mean, you know, Leicester, our mate Brendan Rodgers, they've been very bad at it for a couple of seasons now. And as Steve said, we've been decent at defending sort of set pieces and whatnot. And then suddenly it's just completely gone. And unfortunately, it's too easy. You know, the other team isn't having to work hard to score a goal. You think about it today, West Ham didn't get in our half for the first 25 minutes. They get a dubiously one free kick. It's thrown in from 45 yards away, 40 yards away, whatever.
Yeah, it was almost on halfway, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's just, they haven't had to work hard for that, have they? Let's face it. And it's for a team that scores as few as we do, to give away soft goals like that, it's just going to kill you.
It's going to cost us. Steve, we looked much better when Alcaraz and Silamara came on. Were you surprised he didn't change it up at half-time and maybe start that second half with a bit of momentum and a bit of energy? It's an odd 5 or 6 minutes into the second half. Seems like an odd time to then make your subs and roll the dice when you could have done it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you blow one of your three opportunities for making a sub as well, don't you, by waiting. But, I mean, it's a time old thing, isn't it? Manager goes into the dressing room, not happy with what he's seen. Right, lads, you've got 10, 15 minutes to put it right, or otherwise someone else is coming on. That's traditionally how most managers operate. There are very few managers that actually take that really decisive action of making changes either at halftime or even in the first half when it's just patently not working. And yeah, I think, I mean, arguably Sellers could have been braver and do it at half time, but actually, I mean, he's left it, what, 7 or 8 minutes? It's very early in the second half we've made those first two changes. I'm not sure those 7 or 8 minutes made a tangible difference or would have done sort of to the way the second half panned out. I thought second half we were kind of fine. We certainly looked, once those subs were made, we looked a lot more sharp between the lines. Alcaraz's runs were very good. Walcott was making more runs and therefore giving players more options. And obviously Sulemana was starting to actually run at the fullback, which then gave Pero the overlap. And all of a sudden, we were starting to cause some problems. But again, we didn't get the ball into the box enough. Yeah, we had probably three crosses into the box in that second half that were vaguely sort of any quality in terms of whereabouts into the box they were put into. One of them we've hit the bar from, and yeah, it's just frustrating. I mean, we've given Onuachu probably four crosses into the box. Targeted him with four crosses since he joined at the end of January, and we're now in April, and the guy's 6'7", and you can see the two headers that he's won in the penalty area, one against Chelsea nearly scored, one today where he's come 2 inches from scoring. And those are the fine margins that we always talk about. That's why the big money players get the big money, and that's the difference. And we're just the wrong side of that line at the moment. It's frustrating. And especially so when you consider how, I mean, this doesn't obviously reflect very, very badly on Spurs 2 weeks ago, but we looked like we could score plenty in that game, and obviously scoring three. I mean, we'd not done that for more than a year. So we looked a lot more potent in that game when the game was a little bit, obviously a little bit more open. Spurs were quite happy to play that way. West Ham don't, and which is probably why, with the players that they've got, it's probably why they're still down there struggling a little bit. But yeah, we've just got to find a way to kind of force the percentages back in our favour, really. Because, I mean, let's be honest, West Ham have probably had three chances today, and I think in most games at pretty much any level, if you come off the pitch and you've restricted the opposition to three or four vaguely presentable chances, then you're probably quite satisfied with that, especially if you're a team in the bottom half of the table.
We're still in the games, aren't we? Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, with like 60, 70 minutes on the clock, we're still in the games. And that's something which we weren't before. We've not always been able to say that.
Yeah, but you then rely on the guys at the other end of the pitch being a little bit clinical as well. And that's ultimately where we've fallen short basically since kind of March. Last year. So it's not a new problem. It's a problem that three managers have struggled to solve now. And yeah, I mean, I think you kind of look throughout the league, and there's a real dearth of sort of potent strike forces these days. It's only really the sort of big clubs who can afford to splash 50, 60 million pound on a single player, because you're then theoretically buying a guarantee, really. Whereas at our level, you're always taking a bit of a punt and hoping that the player fits into the system. And I think Onwuachu doesn't really fit the overall style that we're looking to play. But maybe he's the guy that's probably going to have the best chance of success in front of goal going forwards. I don't know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So let's just get into that for a little bit. And I'd be interested to get people's comments if they're watching tonight. I mean, Steve mentioned Onwuachu there. We have one decent ball into the box. He hits the bar. Is that going to be the key to scoring some goals going forward? There's a couple of things at play. We're not scoring goals. We paid money for a striker and we don't start him. We don't bring him on when we need him. We bring him on final throw of the dice. So Glenn, is it back to the fact that the 4-2-2-2 isn't working? It didn't work for Ralph. It clearly isn't working. It's why we're in the mess that we're in. We're too narrow when we play it. We haven't got the players to play it. The number 10s aren't there. Is sticking to the playbook and going back to these habits that Sellers has been talking about, is that going to be the downfall? And do we need to change things up for these last, was it 9 games now?
Yeah, of course we do. But will we? I don't see anything to suggest that we will. When are they going to wake up? When's the first team manager and the coaching staff and the players, when are they going to wake up? What we're doing ain't working. It isn't working. We go into all these games against middling to poor teams and we do nothing. It's just not good enough. I mean, you know, talk about Ruben Sellers. Apart from being better than Nathan Jones, what is he adding at the moment? We've just gone back to Ralph's tactics. And Ralph got sacked for a reason, you know, and I'm very much of the opinion that Ralph needed to go, but I don't get what Ruben Sellers is actually adding at the moment. We're just trying to play the same way that Ralph set up. We might as well have kept him. To be a good manager for Saints, you've got to add something to make us better than the sum of the parts, because we're never going to have great players. You know, that's just a fact of life. You've got to add something. You've got to have something that makes us better. You know, Sellers has waited a long time for his chance, as he keeps on saying. He's got to put his mark on it. You know, he's got to try and actually do something different. And even if it's, you know, okay, we'll try and get wide. We'll put two wingers really wide and try and get crosses into the box for a big guy up front. If that's what it takes, but do something different, because doing the same thing over again is definition of madness stuff. We've lost. Sellers has been in the dugout for every one of these abysmal 1-0 defeats that we've had. Every single one, he's been in the dugout, and he's probably analysed every single game afterwards in his role as assistant manager, first team coach, and now the manager. So why are we doing the same things over and over again? It drives me mental. So you keep thinking, I mean, I thought, you know, we've had a habit over the last few years, international break, we've come back with a bit of impetus, new ideas, and we've done something different. But I didn't see anything today.
No.
Didn't see anything today that was any different to the dismal defeat we had at Aston Villa, the dismal defeat we had at Crystal Palace, dismal defeat we had at home to whoever it was, Everton. You know, it's 9 games left. 2 of them are against City and Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, West Ham away is not an easy game, but it's easier than Arsenal and
yeah, we wanted to see Manchester a better performance. City. We needed more than 3 shots on target.
Yeah, yeah, and so yeah, we do have to do something different. Now, you see when I mean, I agree with Steve that the tactic or the game plan for today was obviously keep it tight, then chuck Sulemana on and whoever, and then try and win the game in the second half. Put them on from the start. Mm. Let's go for it from the first whistle. Not hope that we're still in the game 65 minutes. We've tried that so many times. It doesn't work. We're not good enough because we're not good enough defensively to not cough something up. And once we're behind, especially as Steve said, against a team like West Ham, who are perfectly happy with David Moyes to stick 10 men behind the ball and say, go on then. You know, I felt like we could have had 99% possession today and we still wouldn't have done anything with it. And it's all very well. It was what Thomas Frank said about us last week, didn't it? Or a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? He said, you know, Saints are probably the better side up until the penalty area.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know it. Managers who don't watch us every
we've been saying it every week, haven't we?
Every week. And, you know, so when are we going to do it? It's, you know, it ain't no good waiting until there's three games to go because we'll be gone by then.
Yeah.
No matter, even with the league being as sort of messed up as it is this season with all these poor teams in the bottom half, there's going to come a point where we're going to be 6-7 points adrift.
It was interesting. I heard Prowse being interviewed afterwards, and I don't know the exact quote because I haven't got it in front of me, but it was something like he felt like it was okay because we stuck to the game plan. He said, you know, for a large chunks of the game, we stuck to the game plan. And then you kind of think, well, maybe that is what the problem is and that's what needs to change. And Steve, is it more about finding a system that can fit Alcaraz and Sulemana and Onanachu from the start? Because it seems to me like when we're playing 4-2-2-2, there's the number 10s are okay, the midfield is all right, but perhaps we haven't got those strikers. And then when you bring in the strikers, they're not as good in that system. So maybe it needs to be 4-3-3 and just need to find a way of getting balls into the box.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say certainly the first two of those, getting Sulemana and Alcaraz into the side, because Alcaraz technically is next.
Are you surprised he didn't start today? Or is that the system again? He doesn't fit in the four, you know, he's not a great 10.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it depends on, I mean, we've kind of flicked, haven't we, a little bit between the 4-3-3 and the 4-2-2-2 quite a fair bit in the sort of since Selez took over. And you can kind of see him. He can fit into both, I think, because, I mean, as we saw today, when he came on, he went up front.
Mm.
And he played off the right hand side in Argentina as well.
Mm. Yeah, you know, so he's clearly got the capability to play in a variety of these sort of either central or sort of attacking roles. So, and we've seen the technical ability he's got. He can spot a pass. He's very good in tight spaces. Isn't afraid to take the ball into feet despite having players around him. And yeah, he's clearly got something about him. Sulemana is basically our one kind of wild card in terms of raw pace. Walcott's got it in little bursts, but he's 34 years old. It's not going to be I don't think it's going to be too much of a surprise to defenders when Theo Walcott's kind of running off the shoulder. Whereas Sulemana, at his age and with his sort of little explosive, little shifts of the body, move the ball to one side and go. He's just got that little X factor, which I think is going to be really important for us down this closing stretch. I think if anyone is going to kind of drag us kicking and screaming somehow above that dotted line, I actually think it's going to be him. He's the guy that's got that little something that nobody else in the team really has. So
personally, I'd like to see Adozie come back at least into the squad because he's another one that can do something in terms of, you know, beating a player one-on-one. Because, I mean, you mentioned Walcott there. Walcott's played really well, but his pace is such that he can't do it on his own now. You know, you can't just play it over the top like you could when he played for Arsenal.
And he was signed as an impact sub, wasn't he? You know, he was never signed to be a starter that was going to try and drag us out of trouble.
Yeah.
It's, well, let's talk about the next couple of games, because I think in a bad season, maybe 36 points should be enough to keep us up. The goal difference isn't great at the moment, so we might need 12, 15 points. Manchester City away next, which we'll come to. And then we're looking at, where are the four or five wins going to come from? And are we going to make it to 30? All of a sudden, Glenn, that Palace game at home, this is the one where we've got to go for it.
Well, if we don't beat Palace and Bournemouth at home, we're dead.
Yeah.
We're absolutely dead, because where else are we going to get points from? So you're looking at, so City and Arsenal, no chance at Arsenal. And
Newcastle away as well, I think, isn't it?
Newcastle away, no chance. Yeah. City at home.
I mean, we've been rubbish at Newcastle even when they've been terrible. So
yeah, and Arsenal, we never get anything in the league. I know we've won cup games there, but we never get anything in the league. City next week, we're not, you know, Pep isn't going to leave the door open like he did in the Carabao Cup game, because they're in a situation now where they need to win practically every game to have a chance of winning the league. So they're going to be going for it. The games we might pick up something, Fulham and Brighton, because, you know, even though they've had good seasons, they're in that sort of no man's land, aren't they? Where I guess they'll be pushing for Conference League places and maybe even Europa League at a shout. And we've got these games against, is it Palace, Bournemouth and Forest? Forest away. The sort of games that we've lost 1-0 all season. You know, I annoy myself because I'd made up my mind we were going down when we lost to Nottingham Forest at home. And then you kind of change.
They drag you back in.
They drag you back in. And then idiot. There you go. Like an idiot, you suddenly think, oh yeah, we can get back into this. And I wrote a bit on my blog, which wasn't the best thing I've ever written, where you're looking at the games coming up and thinking, yeah, we could get three there. But performances like today just make me think, I just wish it was over, to be honest. And I can't be bothered with it anymore. that's genuinely what I feel after performances like today. And it's not just today in isolation. It's today and other games of that ilk, of which we've had so many this season. Don't see anything to get optimistic about, to be honest.
It's going
to
be death by a thousand cuts, isn't it, Steve? I was just looking at the league table as well. And whilst it doesn't look as bad, there's sides around us that have got games this week. I think Everton play Monday night, don't they? Bournemouth are playing on Tuesday. Leeds Forest is a huge game. And then Leicester, I think, have got a game on Tuesday. So by the time the Man City game comes round, it could look even worse.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester have probably given themselves the best chance of staying up by booting Rodgers today. I mean, by the sound of it, they were absolutely pumped by Palace yesterday. And this is a Crystal Palace team that hadn't mustered a shot on target in three consecutive games. And I think they had something like 31 shots in that game yesterday. I mean, and Leicester had three, I think. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I think Leicester have made the right call. And it's probably, given the players that they've got in that team, you would imagine that it might be a case of, well, we're just bored of this guy's kind of just the cliches and only ever looking out for himself and sort of absolving himself of any responsibility for it all. And when he's gone, all of a sudden, pressure's off, a little bit of freedom, and they've got enough quality in that team to stay out of trouble, as West Ham have, despite looking fairly dull themselves today. But it's kind of what you expect from David Moyes, I suppose, at the moment. And especially when he starts getting his back up against the wall, he basically doubles down on it. And Rodgers, I find, is exactly the same. And Leicester have kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit by keeping hold of him, I think largely because they weighed up the cost of having to bin him off and his 47 million strong backroom team. And thought, well, no, we'll take our chances that there's three worse teams than us. And all of a sudden, they've dropped into the bottom three with nine games to go. So, I think those games midweek, I mean, some will go for us, some will go against us. It's the way it's happened all season, really. There's not been a single week where every game's gone for us. There's not been a single week where everyone's gone against us. So, just got to hope that enough teams are kind of kept in touch, really. I think Palace, as we probably said 2 weeks ago, that their run of fixtures that they've just had kind of painted a false picture of how bad they were, and they've now got basically everybody below them to play. So I don't see them being in any danger whatsoever. So actually, by the time they come to us in 2 weeks' time, they might already be safe, and it's kind of slippers on.
On the beach, yeah.
Yeah, let's get the towels and head down to the beach, lads. But we'll see.
We can, but hope. We can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Enjoy that. Let's get on to our next game then, which is Man City on Saturday. It's the 5:30 kickoff at St Mary's. Glenn, the optimist, is going to point to the cup win that, of course, was 2-0. Is that the motivation for the league game?
Guess so. Yeah. I mean, we got to hope. Man City, they've had a couple of games this year where they haven't turned up, but they're turning up at the moment, aren't they? Because they're in the... They're in the situation, as I said earlier, where they're, I don't know how many points they are behind Arsenal. It's quite a few. They need to win virtually every game between now and the end of the season. And when they went 1-0 down against Liverpool, I thought, oh, that's it. That's interesting. We'll see how that one goes. And they've ended up winning that by a streak. I mean, the only thing that might impact them, I guess, is you know, their quest for the Champions League. Might derail them later on if he has to try and rotate. But, I mean, let's face it. They've got so many ridiculously good players. And we've got to remember about the Carabao Cup. I know it was a great win for us. And, you know, I'm not putting a dampener on that from our point of view. Pep did rotate not particularly well in that game. You know, playing Kyle Walker at centre-half for the very first time. He left out De Bruyne, or he left out Haaland.
Calvin Phillips coming in, wasn't it, for his only game this season?
Yeah, Calvin Phillips played, and they were very poor in that game. And there is no way that he's going to do that again against us, especially as he knows that he can be beaten at St Mary's, because it's happened a couple of times. So I just think Manchester City will take this game incredibly seriously, and it will be a full-strength Manchester City side. I know Haaland was injured at the weekend, but if he's fit, I'm sure he'll be back. And if not, they've got a guy who just won the World Cup to play up front instead of him. So it's not exactly a hardship, is it? And my sort of current sort of feeling with us is that we're just a crap football team, really. And all that we've got is, you know, we do tend to put in a performance when we know that if we don't, we're going to get absolutely hammered. So we do put it in against the better sides, you know. So we may sneak something out of it, but I would say 5% chance. Not much optimism going into that game at all. And as you can tell, I'm at the stage where they've broken me, basically.
I'm surprised it's taken this long. Steve, is the, you know, looking into a crystal ball, is this going to be another one of those? As Glenn says, we do tend to step up against the bigger sides. Can I, if you're trying to think about the narrative of the game, is this going to be another 10 out of 10 performance? And then actually, you know, we get a hiding, we put in a good shift, but come out three or four nil down.
Well, I mean, we've seen us go both ways in that, haven't we? We've seen us have games against the likes of City, even when they were probably a better sort of team unit in previous years. And we've got positive results against them home and away. But basically everybody has got to be kind of an 8, 9 or 10 out of 10 performance from first whistle to last. Hmm. You can't get away with having even a dodgy 5 or 10 minute spell in a game, because they will sense it, and that's the point at which they'll basically just tear you to pieces. I mean, we're just as likely to throw in an absolute shocker. But, I mean, in fairness, we do tend to be kind of hot and cold, literally going from one end to the other week by week. And we've had our relatively poor performance today. Maybe next week's the good one, and we can effectively hand Arsenal the title, which, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would have expected anyone to be saying that this time last year. But it's one of those, you've got to have a system that the system's got to negate the way City are going to hurt you the most, which is, as we know, and as we've set up against them before, you've got to defend very narrow, force them into wide areas, and hope that their crossing isn't very good, which for the most part, certainly when they've played us before, it hasn't been. Of course, now they've got a massive monster of a guy who can get on the end of those crosses. So you've then got to kind of defend those crosses a bit better than we do historically. I mean, the last few years, the number of goals we concede just from basic crosses into the box is kind of terrifying. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's got to go our way if we're going to get anything out of the game. Even if we're only going to get a one goal defeat to make sure our goal difference isn't completely screwed. Things have got to fall our way, and yeah, you've got to you got to go into it with a bit of hope, but not a great deal of expectation, I would imagine.
Let's just hope that if we come back to the 12 goals we've conceded from set pieces this season, if we're still talking about that this time next week, then would have done all right. And Glenn, is this one where he sets up the team just not to get a hiding? Is it about the goal difference for this one? Or we've talked about maybe changing the formation up, going 4-3-3 and trying to get balls into the box. Is this not the game for that? Is it all to do with the Palace game the following week? Because that's the one that we could conceivably win.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see if Sellers does anything different, because in this game, Ralph always went 4-2-2-2. And that used to give City problems in pre-Erling Haaland days. I can't remember, to be honest, what formation we played when we beat them in the Carabao Cup. Should have looked at that before it came on. But so it'd be interesting to see if Ruben Sellers does anything different.
It was Lianco at right back, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Or whether he just, whether he just regurgitates it and plays a slight variation, maybe with different people, of the formation we play today. But if I had to guess, I reckon it'll be 4-2-2-2 again, and we'll have Elyounoussi and someone else in the wide areas. And it'll all be about what we do off the ball. I would think if Che Adams isn't fit, that Onuachu will play. Because that might cause some problems if we just load of crosses into the box. Because, I mean, he is a handful. I mean, he's big and he's clumsy, obviously. But when I noticed one bit when we were about to cross the ball into the box from a corner or a free kick, Kurt Zouma and a Gerd today were kind of panicking about who's going to pick him up. I mean, Kurt Zouma's the biggest, but he was desperately trying to hand him over to someone else. Yeah, he's not so good when he's not kicking cats, is he? Someone bigger than him, he didn't fancy it. So, he will cause problems, because City centre-backs, they're not going to be used to playing against someone like that. You don't get many of those in the Champions League, sort of 6'8" strikers. So
if you play him, then you need a couple of decent wingers.
Yeah, you need to be trying to work the crossing positions for the likes of Ward-Prowse and
Walker Peters.
Yeah.
Got to get the ball first against City.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You need to have some sort of plan. And I know against City, it's mostly about, defending and making sure you concentrate for 90 minutes and not give anything away. But, part of that is you've got to have some sort of threat yourself. Otherwise, they can just camp on the halfway line and just have 11 men in our half the whole time. And they will inevitably score if we don't offer anything. I mean, on the games where we got something out of them before, particularly the 0-0 game up at the Etihad, where the game where Adam Armstrong got given a penalty and then it got turned around for some reason. That game, we had some real attacking threat in that game. And it helps you, because it keeps City away from your goal, because they just can't squeeze
the space.
Yeah, just can't squeeze the space without worrying about what's going on. So, what's going on at their end of the pitch. So, yeah, you never know. But as I say, I can't see it at the moment. I just don't see enough about this group of players. But I will be interested to see if Celeste does anything different, or whether he just copies Ralph again.
Yeah. Well, if you're watching along live, it's time to stick your score predictions into the comments. I'm going to go with a 4-0 defeat. start off nice and positive. Steve, I'm going to come to you first. How do you see this one playing out?
I mean, we'll have about 15% possession, won't we?
Perhaps that'd be a better thing to guess.
Yeah. Rather than the score. What's the possession?
What's the possession
differential? I think we'll have 50, it'll be 15-20% possession, and if we can get some set pieces, maybe then we might be able to get something. But realistically, it's going to be grim watching. Just sit back and hope that we can just throw enough bodies in the way. 2-0 City.
2-0. All right, and Glenn.
Well, the obvious thing is to have 3-0, isn't it, in between your two scores? But I got a feeling for no logical reason whatsoever. I got a feeling we might score, so I'll go 3-1 to City.
3-1. Okay. Right. We'll get the other guys to give us their predictions as well, and we'll feed those in. So just another defeat as well for the women's team today. That was at Birmingham this afternoon. That finished 2-1 in the championship. That's about it for this week. Thank you, guys. Don't forget, you can follow Total Saints Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Total Saints Pod. Over on the website, it's totalsaints.co.uk. That includes a link to our online shop, which is the Total Saints icons. And we're also on Patreon. That's where you can support the podcast with a monthly contribution. patreon.com/Total Saints Podcast. There's four tiers on there, ranging from £5 to £20 per month. And each of the tiers comes with its own perks, including some weekly shouts for those patrons in the Francis Benali and the Mick Shannon tiers. So thank you to Dave Melton, Mark Atkins, Matt Hall, Andy Hollis, and also Anthony Thompson in the Francis Benali tier. And thanks to Colt Baker, Dave Ernsberger, Ed Busy, Nick Higston, Phil Cook, Matt Rose, and Nick Reed, who are all in our Mick Shannon tier. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you again next week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.